Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. So how many get the YouVersion daily verse? Probably a lot of us. Today's verse is from Matthew. It doesn't show it when I do that. Hang on a second. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, sometimes when we come to church, we carry like the baggage of the week with us. Anybody ever guilty of that? Or maybe even the Sunday morning with us. And our hearts are kind of corrupted, you know, in that state. And it's almost like we don't have the opportunity to truly see God as he wants us to see him. So this morning, I'm just going to pray right now that there's been things in our lives this week that have been captivating us, weighing us down, distracting our vision, that our hearts would just settle in right now to the goodness of God, the love of God, the truth that God says about us, that he loves us with an everlasting love. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. That no matter what circumstances may come our way, no matter what the enemy means for evil in our lives, God will make it and turn it into good. Lord, right now, we just ask that you would help us to have pure hearts this morning, that we might see you. Lord, that we might see you, Lord, in this service, that we might see you in each other, Lord, that we might see you, Lord, in all your glory and splendor. Lord, we just surrender our hearts to you right now, Lord, to purify our hearts, Lord. As David said, create in me a clean heart, Lord. Lord, if there's anything in us, Lord, that's keeping us, Lord, from experiencing what you want us to experience today, Lord, I pray right now that you would just get it out of our lives. You would remove it. And let the Holy Spirit just fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Come on, church, let's stand together.
Just keep Thank you. Stop chasing me. this morning when I woke up and I took my very first conscious breath in and out, I have to honestly admit that my next thought was not about Jesus or about praising him. It was starting with a to-do list of everything that today held for me. That's how I normally wake up. But it was his breath in my lungs. Because I'm his kid. I'm his. But even still, he has a reckless love for me. That he leaves 99 other sheep to chase after me, to capture me. And even though he never let me go, there is still that unconditional enfolding of his arms around me. And it's, you'll do better tomorrow because you're recognizing today where your thoughts really should be, and they should be captured by me. He loves us so much that he forgets about the to-do list or the things that first capture our attention. But he uses those things to draw us to himself. Be willing today to be drawn, to be encaptured by him. It doesn't take some big act. It doesn't take some big prayer or some big perfect statement or anything like that to just receive who he is into us. I can't tell you how many times just this week I talked to somebody about the thief on the cross. There were two of them hanging there. Both of them had the same opportunity. Both of them had the opportunity to say to the Lord, remember me. And I'm sure he did remember both of them, but the one that admitted, I've done wrong. You know, that's why I'm hanging here. I've done wrong, but Lord, just remember me. And Jesus in his love, his overwhelming, reckless love, said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He had done nothing in his life, his whole life, to ever receive such a gift. And he didn't have to. All he had to do was turn his heart toward the Lord. So if your heart has not been turned toward Jesus this day, this morning, I invite you to allow the very best lover of your soul to encapture you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. Amen. We're going to just take a short opportunity to grab a cup of coffee or say hey to a friend. Welcome to everybody. And we will meet back here in about 5 minutes.
Check, check. All right, church. Why don't you guys stand with me? We are going to do our declaration over the Yakima Valley because God loves Yakima. We need to make t-shirts. God loves Yakima because he does. All right, say this with me. We're gonna make this declaration together on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we thank you so much for our city, for the valley. We thank you, Lord, for the lower valley, for the upper valley, for everywhere in between. And God, I just pray blessings upon blessings, Lord, over what you're doing in our city, God, over what you're doing in churches all over our city right now, God, that are where people are worshiping you, Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless First Street, God. I pray, Lord, a special blessing right now over North First Street, God. That is a place where not a lot of us visit, not a lot of us frequent, God. But Lord, I know your presence is there in that place, God. Your presence is there, Lord, with our friends on the streets. Your presence is there, Lord, in all those areas, God. And so we just pray, God, for over that place, over any place, God, that maybe those we deem as unsafe, Lord, we just pray protection and blessings over those areas in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen. You guys can have a seat. Nancy, you want to, not you, do you want to come talk about this?
Go ahead. Not me. All right, so same as usual, we have our ministry conference for women. It's so funny, I got asked today, like, is it you that chose to go all those miles away for this conference? And I had really good questions about that. I just loved it. And absolutely it is. The people who are putting it on are from our, I guess, covering, for lack of a better word. What would you call that? Our what? Our affiliation. And we really do want to be united in our affiliation and be able to be and do things with the people that we're running this, you know, journey of faith with. And so, and one of them in particular, Cammie, is somebody that I got to meet at our youth conference, and she got to speak to the women there, the young women, and her story, her testimony, and the things that she had to give. Like, she did a complete 180 in her life. And now she's living boldly and tenaciously for the Lord. And just what she has to give is so priceless and so valuable. And I just really want to be able to have an opportunity for that to be imparted to the ladies of our family here. So if you guys feel led, sign up if you haven't done so already. And then I will be reaching out through text here in the next today, if not tomorrow, about some of the accommodations and what we're looking at a little bit further. All right. And then giving. What a great thing we get to do. I think it's just an excellent discipline that allows us to put something forth for the Lord that sometimes is a sacrifice, but what a great one, because he's able to take those things, even the two mites of the woman in the word, right, and do such amazing and fun things with it. So I just bless you to test the Lord in that. If you're feeling like kind of contrite or like you don't want to do it, I would challenge you to do it even still and watch what God can do with the little that you're able to give, right? Amen. So you can either do it online with onelifefamilyworship.com, click give, it'll walk you through it, or in the box. Pastor? Okay.
Before I start this morning, I want to, we were praying for Yakima, making that declaration. You all have heard of Yakima Foursquare, I'm sure. The senior pastors there, Jake and Chantel. Chantel is heading over to Seattle, I guess, right now. And she's been fighting, I guess, for a long time, a couple of years now, isn't it?
Only about 9 months.
Oh, 9 months. Okay, 9 months. Cancer. Unless the Lord intervenes, she is going to be going to be with him. So we want to pray for the grace of God, the healing power of God, his purpose over their lives. Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, for Jake and Chantel. Lord, especially for Chantel, Lord, right now. God, we know that you are a miracle-working God. And I know people all over the place have been calling out, Lord, for healing for her. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that you would intercede for this family, for this woman of faith, Lord, that you would just touch her body, Lord, in a supernatural way. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that your grace would be upon this family, Lord, your supernatural empowerment, Lord, to walk through, Lord, whatever they have to walk through, Lord. And we just thank you, God, that you are working, Lord, in them right now. You're working in every member of this family, Lord, for your good, Lord. And Father, we thank you, God, that you are the one that will raise her up, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. And Lord, right now, I just pray that your word, Lord, that you have put on my heart today, Lord, that it would be communicated, Lord, in such a way that it would be able to be received. Lord, these truths sometimes seem so deep, yet they're so simple. Lord, they seem so hard to grasp, Lord, but we have them all the time. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just open us up. Lord, even me right now, even though I'm presenting, Lord, open us up, Lord, to receive your truth. Lord, the truth that will make us free, Lord. Help us experience it today, Lord. Help us to connect with it in such a way, Lord, it's tangible, it's real, Lord. And it's not something that's just pie in the sky, Lord, but it's reality, Lord. And so I release this now into every member, Lord, of this house that's listening, and Lord, those that are listening online, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are doing a great work in the body of Christ right now. I thank you for the testimonies of the pastors as I've been meeting with them, Lord, of how they're being stirred, Lord, beyond what I've ever heard before, Lord. Even ones, Lord, that I would never have expected it, God. You're doing great things. So, Lord, I pray that in this day and in this hour, Lord, you would work in all of us, Lord, to will and to do of your good pleasure, that we might be world changers. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to talk about dwelling in you. And if you guys don't know, that's the Holy Spirit. The dove that came in the form of a dove on Jesus when he was baptized, and he came up out of the water, and the Lord said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And all of a sudden, a dove from heaven was seen. And so we have, like a dove? Like a dove, yeah. However you want. Everybody that saw, it looked like a dove. Let's put it that way. So The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, and I want to talk about today. Maybe you haven't, but I've been communicating about reigning in life for the past 4 or 5 weeks. I think it was 5 weeks. And the idea behind this is that when we receive the grace of God, we receive his righteousness with true faith and confidence that what he says is true, that we will reign in life. Now, the thing is that we could say, well, grace is over here and righteousness is over here, but how many know it's really a person? It's the person of Christ, and it's the person of the Holy Spirit who's living in us. That's where our grace comes from. That's where our righteousness comes from. That's where our peace comes from. The love, joy, peace, all of the fruits of the Spirit, or fruit of the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to communicate this idea of dwelling in you. So first let's read this passage. For to be carnally minded, this is Romans 8, 6 through 11. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Want to look up a little bit at verse 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded, what is that? What is carnally minded? It means that you're thinking about only the things of this life. You're thinking about only the things that seem important to you that are part of this world system. They can captivate you. And the problem is, to be carnally minded, to be in the flesh, is death. It's death. Now, some would say, well, does that mean I'm going to die, Pastor? No, it doesn't mean you're going to die, but it means you're going to operate from the realm of death, which means the realm of loss, the realm of disappointment, the realm of depression. That's death. Now, eventually, if you stay in that way, eventually the death that's going to happen is you're going to die out spiritually. You're going to get to the place where you're backslidden, and you need to have almost like a full salvation experience again, where you come to the realization that Jesus is your Savior once again. Now, I think that's good for all of us to come to that realization very often, that Jesus is our Savior. Like that song says, oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? When we sing that, remember, he is your Savior. You're not just singing words, he is your Savior. Make it personal. He is my Savior. Because the carnal mind is enmity. What is that word? Hostile. It's an enemy against God. It's at war against God, your carnal mind. And if we want to reign in life, going back to the last 5 weeks, we have to not be in our carnal mind. And that's easier said than done, I'm telling you right now. Because the world wants to drag you into the carnal mind. The world wants to get you thinking in that mindset. Because the world is carnal. The world is against God. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He says that you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And I'm telling you, the world hates me. That's what Jesus told them. Because the world hates me, guess what? It's going to hate you. So even though we're in this world, we don't have to be of this world. We don't have to be of a carnal mind. So let's go ahead and take a look at 9, 10, and 11, a little bit more broken down here. But you are not in the flesh. Or you're not in the carnal mind, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So I would say this. If you are someone that says, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul, the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in us. When we are born again, we are born from above. We're born with the Spirit of God. And when we receive Christ, we receive his Spirit. And so, and it says here that if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So I would say anybody that has not received Jesus does not have the Spirit of Christ, doesn't have the Holy Spirit working in their lives. They're carnal. And if Christ is in you, that's the same thing as dwelling in you. How many know that we're not, God is not separated or segregated? Like, even though we talk about the Father and we talk about the Son, we talk about the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that they're like just individuals that are just these separate entities. They're one with each other. They're in union with each other. The Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in the Father. And it's this wonderful dance, some people describe it as. It's like one can't be separated from the other. And you know what? He made us in our image, in his image. He made us in his image. And that means that we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. These three separate entities. But they sure seem to be one when you look at us, right? So I think when we truly see God for who he is, we'll see one. But we will see, you know, the Lord our God is one Lord. We're going to also understand that it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit working together. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So this body that we have, this flesh that we have, has, even though Christ is in us, it's dead because of sin. But you know what? Praise God that his Spirit gives life even to our mortal bodies. even causes our mortal bodies to have the life of God. That's good news. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which it does, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So if you think about this, we have Holy Spirit living in us. We have him residing in us when we receive Christ. And as we're going to see here in a minute, that word dwell, both times dwells in you and dwells in you, is again different Greek words. So we're going to need to blow it up a little bit here. But we have Christ dwelling in us. We have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. You can't separate Christ and the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive Christ. You receive the Spirit of Christ. And when we receive that, we're now receiving life for our mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in us. Notice that it's not just that these bodies receive the Spirit and that just life flows. It's that there's a dwelling that takes place. And let's take a look at that, because I need more language here. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, we're going to focus on that dwells right now. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We'll look at that word in a minute. It's the Strong's. It means to occupy a house, that is reside, to inhabit, to remain in there. And I like this, by implication, to cohabitate. So what I would say is we have Holy Spirit in us, and Holy Spirit is like a roommate, is the best way I could describe him. In other words, he is someone that is there all the time. Now, he's a roommate that goes to work with you. Let's put it that way. He's a roommate that is there with you all the time. He's inhabiting this house. But we can ignore the Holy Spirit, just like you could ignore a roommate. And we can not choose to listen. We could just want to do our own thing, even though the roommate that lives with us is all-knowing. The roommate that lives with us knows everything that we need in life. Not only needs in life, he has everything we need in life. That'd be a good roommate, wouldn't it? A roommate that if you need something for this life, you can say, hey, roommate, I need this. You know, another word was for the Holy Spirit was paraclete, which means one who comes alongside, one who's there for you to meet your needs. That's the Holy Spirit. So it says here, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead cohabitates with you, is occupying this house, residing in this house, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, let's take a look at that word. This is from the Hebraic Roots Bible, and I wanted it because of this word that we're seeing at the end. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of his Spirit in you. So see, it's Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. But are we letting the Holy Spirit have life in us? Are we letting that life that we receive from the Holy Spirit come alive in us? That's the indwelling. That's where Paul says, are you in Christ? Are you remaining in Christ? Are you remaining in the truths of the gospel? That's that indwelling. That's letting your roommate, that's letting your cohabitor have room in your life to communicate with you. How many have ever said, Holy Spirit, help me be better in life? Anybody ever prayed that prayer? How many know he will? Holy Spirit, remind me when I'm about to sin. That's a prayer. Holy Spirit, remind me when I'm about to get angry at somebody when I shouldn't get angry. How many know Holy Spirit will do that? Holy Spirit, now some people say Holy Spirit is a gentleman, is a way of like, you know, and when I think of gentleman, opening the door for you, you know, letting preferring you to go forward. But Holy Spirit is not going to force himself on you. He's not. He's not going to push his way into your life. How many have seen people and you want to go push your way into the life and say, what you're doing is all wrong. You can't do it this way, you know, and you just want to slap them, you know, to get them to realize what's going on. But the thing is, Holy Spirit doesn't do that, right? Then should we? I don't think so. If Holy Spirit isn't slapping you, he's gently nudging you. He's trying to get you to realize that if you see things God's way, your life will be better. Holy Spirit whispers to us, not yells at us. All right. John 14, 16 through 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's that word paraclete. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If any of you were having like a challenge with me saying that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, here's Jesus himself saying the Holy Spirit will dwell with us and dwell in us. We have God dwelling in us. Now again, what I said in that prayer is that it sounds so simple, yet it's so hard to comprehend with this natural mind. We have God dwelling in us. And that sounds like, oh yeah, Pastor, we've got God dwelling in us. Well, what are the consequences of that? There should be a lot of consequences if God's dwelling in us, I think, right? Tells me that if God's dwelling in us, then that means that I must be the temple of God. I must be the house of God if he's living in me. And if I'm the house of God, then how should I respond to that truth? How should I live in response to that truth? Should I just like say, oh yeah, God lives in me, no big deal. Or should I say, no, God lives in me. Lord, help me steward this life that you're inhabiting. John, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing, Holy Spirit, same, interchangeable. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. So there's again, that's abiding. Now, the abiding word's a little bit different. It means to remain, to stay, but it also means to dwell, to live in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. That right there, you just don't hear it preached much. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. So you guys come here on Sunday, right? To hear messages, you hear words, you hear songs. Sometimes you're listening to a song and it's teaching you. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, the one that dwells in you, that anointing can teach you. It says that it can teach you concerning all things. Pastor Mike, does that mean Holy Spirit can teach me concerning the last days? Wait a minute, does that mean the Holy Spirit can teach me concerning 2024? Yes. I'm talking about the election, if you didn't know. Because everybody has gotten their eyes on the election and what's going to happen. Does that mean the Holy Spirit can teach me concerning artificial intelligence? Yes. All things. You're saying, well, those are like of the world. Yeah, but he can tell you how to navigate life with all these things that are coming up. He can speak his truth into how we walk through each one of those situations in the future. Things that we don't maybe even know about right now. Things that are in the pipeline. Holy Spirit can start preparing our hearts to be ready. But we have to be open to Holy Spirit working in us. So many of us want him to work in those situations. But what about working in how you're going to respond to people at work tomorrow? Or how you're even going to work tomorrow? Are you going to work like begrudgingly and saying, oh man, I got to go to work. There are so many losers at work. Sorry, it's just being real. So many people that I can't hardly stand to be around them. Yeah, okay. So Holy Spirit comes in and says, hey, hello, I'm with you. I can help you make those situations seem like you're enjoying them at first. But then you will start to enjoy them because my life's going to flow to those individuals. That's Holy Spirit. But then you don't want him to, you know, get involved into your business now, but you want him to help you out later on. Doesn't work that way. I mean, yeah, you can send up a Hail Mary prayer and God's faithfulness can help, but why not just walk with him now in steady communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the one who's partnering with us, and then when those times come, we're ready for them. We're not going, oh, what am I going to do? Because we say, Holy Spirit, you got me through that person at work. I know you're going to get me through this Antichrist. Seems like a big leap, not to Holy Spirit. He's going to teach us concerning all things. And it's true and it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Just as it has taught you, I would say he has taught you, but you will abide in him. So as you're being taught by the Spirit, as you're receiving truth, and how do we do things in God? You guys, anybody can tell me. How do we receive from God? What's it called? By faith. We receive by faith. Same thing. We receive the truth from the Holy Spirit by faith. I'm not of the, testimonial type that can say I've had Holy Spirit, you know, literally stand in front of me and talk to me, you know, or Jesus come and talk to me. But he speaks in my heart, or he speaks through his word. And when I apply it by faith, then what he's saying comes true in my life. Maybe not in the timing that I have, but in his timing. Amen. All right. So this is where we kind of start realizing that having God dwelling in us requires us to have a response back to him. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you, but I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I will dwell in them and walk among them. By the Holy Spirit, he's dwelling in us. So, by the way, this is 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. I didn't say that. And the thing is here is that because he's dwelling in us, we need to respond to him in a way of faith, saying, Lord, help me to not be of the world. Help me not be of a carnal mind. You know, if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fill the desires of the lust of the flesh. We're not going to fulfill the desires of this carnal life. But you have to walk in the Spirit. And how many know that walking in the Spirit requires us partnering with the Holy Spirit, being open to the Holy Spirit, being corrected by the Holy Spirit, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, being subject to the Holy Spirit? And when you're subject to all those things, you are subject to God. Here's another verse. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Isn't it amazing that this idea of us being a temple of the God, and there's a couple other verses, that it gets down to how we deal with our sexuality. Most of all. Why? Because God's in us. And so if we're doing, you know, depraved things, then God's having to participate with that. That's not cool. That's not cool. Because he is holy, and he calls us to be holy. And you know what? He gives us the power to be holy. Yeah. Remember last, again, I think it was last week or the week before, where I was talking about that when we're buried with him in baptism, was last week, buried with him in baptism, were raised into newness of life. But what dies in baptism? Sin. Sin dies. And what did it say? Sin no longer has dominion over us. Well, how many know sexual sins are sins? Those types of behaviors do not have to happen in us. I know, right? Wow. And it's like, oh, Pastor Mike, I know what you're saying, but you know, it's not really that practical. Well, it's not practical. It doesn't make sense. It's impossible without God. But in God, it is possible to walk sin-free. Yeah. Did I just say? Yes, it is possible. Otherwise, what is baptism for? Just a show? Yeah, I know it's us identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but it's more than that, right, Tim? It's us actually identifying with our death to sin, our death to our old man. And we're saying, you know what? He died when he went in those waters of baptism, and I came out a new creation. I came out a new man. And because of that, I don't have to fall into sexual immorality or any other type of sin. Can you imagine if the body of Christ started walking sinless? Whoa. That might turn some heads. One day, you know, the person is like losing it. You know, I always pick work, but work is like a... I remember when I worked. I lost it so many times at work. I was not walking in this stuff when I worked for Wilson Irrigation. There's times, I mean, I lost my whole cool, you know. It's like I left my Christianity at the door, you know, and walked in for a while. But, you know, over the years, I've learned to temper this old man and put him under my feet, you know, where he's supposed to be, where Jesus says all things are under his feet, including my old man. But this idea that, you know, one day you're losing it with a person and they think they've got what your hot button is. You guys know the hot button, right? Somebody can get your hot button. They do it because they want to see if they can control you, you know. And so one day they do it. You come and you start realizing, no, I don't have to bow to that. By faith, I'm going to change. By faith, I'm going to stand in this idea that I died with Christ. I was buried in baptism. I'm raised in the newness of life, and I'm going to not let sin have dominion over me. And the next day, they come at you with that same trigger, and you just smell them. Oh, Jesus loves you. And you walk away. All of a sudden, what happened there? I thought I had it. And then it happens again and again and again. And now they start to notice, well, they're not losing it like they used to lose it when that deal would fall through or when someone would say something about them. And all of a sudden, your light's now shining. This is not to toot my own horn because I really didn't know my horn was tooted, but Gay was, right? I didn't know. My sister was having lunch yesterday. And with Gay. And so what ended up happening is they got somehow on a conversation about Christ and the life of Christ. I said, did you get to, you know, because I was excited. Oh, did you, you know, get to spend some time with her and just to be there, you know, maybe not necessarily preach at her. But she said something to Gay, which I thought was like, are you serious? And again, not to toot my own horn, but because this is Christ in me. But my sister said, I want to let you know, Gay, that Mike is one of the most transformative persons, I'll put it that way, that I know, that because I knew him before he knew Christ. And how much anger and how mean he was and mean I was to her. And now he's, what, how'd it go? Now completely different. And, you know, I don't know exactly how that's going to affect her potential walk in the Lord, but that's a testimony of the transforming power of Christ. Like I said, my horn was tooted, but I didn't know that, so. Toot that horn. Well, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's God working in me. These things are possible. You don't have to be that old, angry, mad, mean-spirited person anymore. It took 40-something years, but it's starting to take, you know. But it doesn't have to take so long. What? What? We have a choice. Yep. We can either receive the work of Christ in our life and let it have its transforming power, or we can choose to just say, I'm saved, and someday I'll go to heaven, and you know what? You know, it's all good. And the Bible says you will be saved, except you're going to smell like smoke, it says. Means that all the things that you carried into heaven with you are going to burn. All the things that you thought were so important here in this life, or all the failures in this life that haven't been brought to the cross, they're going to burn in heaven. That's why I say we're going to have a smell of smoke on us. Well, I don't like that thought. We're bought at a price, folks. We have been purchased, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oops, I might have hit it again. I get excited, and there's a button here that if I hit it, it goes sideways. I do. So this says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So us being friends with the world is like we're an enemy with God. We're being hostile to God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. There it's clarified. Or do you not think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you and dwells in us yearns jealously, there we go. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The next verse 7, which I didn't have room for, is where it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We talked about that last week. And that's the key. The key is, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The spirit who dwells in us is jealous. The cohabitator, is that a word? Yeah, cohabitator. The roommate that I was talking about is jealous. And when our roommate sees us over with things that he knows will end up hurting us, that's why. You know, Paul said, you've got liberty to do anything you want. And all of you do. You can do anything you want. Pastor Mike is not going to be, you know, going through your Facebook pages or your Instagram or your TikToks or whatever it is. And, you know, however you might display publicly your behavior that says that you're not living as Christ called you to live. I'm not going to do that. But Holy Spirit is right there. We can't hide from God. Some people think, well, if I, you know, do it maybe at a certain time or, you know, kind of huddle in the corner. There's no huddling in the corner. If you're a Christian, Holy Spirit's right there with you going, dude, what are you doing? This is not you. This is not who you are. This is not who you were created to be. And that's why people go in those situations or sitting in later on going, oh, what did I do? That's Holy Spirit say, what did you do? That's not how you were created. That's not how you have been transformed. That's not what Christ did for you. That behavior is not who you are. 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I don't know what it takes to defile the temple of God, but I don't want to do it. Because, yeah. I mean, it sounds pretty serious. Let's just put it that way. Okay. Some people say, well, why are you putting that up there? Because it's the word. It is the Bible. I could have just put the first one, Spirit of Christ dwells in you. But the problem is, it's not in context. Because the next is really telling us why we're to remember that we're the temple of God. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, does he love us? He does. But he doesn't want us to just willy-nilly walk through life doing whatever we want after we've received this glorious gift of salvation. Sorry, willy-nilly, I guess. I like that because it sounds like it's very willy-nilly. Yep, there we go. 2 Timothy 1:13 through 14. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. See, what we've received up to this point, we need to make sure that we keep it. We need to make sure that we hold on to it, hold fast the truths that we've been given. Now, if you haven't been given any truths, then go get some. That means read your word. We just finished today the 21 days in the book of John, and it was really good. I mean, I've read the book of John many times, but I really enjoyed it with the comments of people. Not everybody was commenting. I'm not here to throw anybody under the bus. That wasn't part of the thing. But when I did hear comments, thank you, Cody, some of those really lifted up my heart. Tanya gave some amazing ones. Tim gave some amazing ones. Pastor Eric did. And Caden gave some amazing ones. Gay did. And there were a few others, but the point being is that it was like we're reading in the same room together in a little bit of a way. So with that being said, tomorrow, this afternoon, I'll be sending it out. Tomorrow, I will be inviting you to 28 days through the book of Acts. I thought that would be a great accompaniment. And then I have submitted, actually, to YouVersion, what will be called a journey from Galatians to Colossians. So it'll be going through those four books, because I love Go Eat Popcorn. You guys know that, right? I was going to call it that, but I don't know if anybody would have got it. But anyway, so this idea that we're reading, it's a single chapter. It doesn't take very long, but it's like one more thing that you're adding to your arsenal. It's like one more thing you're feeding your spirit with. And I think we all need more of the spiritual things in our lives than the things of the flesh. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And finally, this is 1 John 3:23 through 24. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him. So here's us abiding in him. And he in him. So this is him abiding, us abiding in him, and him abiding in us. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. What does this mean? It means that this Holy Spirit, this gift of God, this anointing helps us know that we are his. Reminds us that God is in us, and somehow we're in God. Somehow we're already participating in this divine dance of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And put man in there, but not just man, put you in there with God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's pretty radical when you think about it. But this whole idea is so that not that we can say, oh, I'm part of the Trinity of God. Look at me. No, it's that, oh, God has included me in his oneness so that I can be like him. So that I can be like who he is, transformed into the very nature of God. Because he's given me the very nature of God, because the very nature of God is in me. If I give God the room to live, move, and have his being in me, like I live, move, and have my being in him, I will be different. I will be changed. And I will be a light to this dark world. Amen? Amen. And my wife has something, I can tell.
I just want to quickly talk about the reading the word with all of us together and how that has affected me. I don't know if anybody else, I don't know anybody in here, because I don't know who signed up to do it and who didn't. But I felt a difference today just for having read the word for 21 days with everybody. I don't know if anybody else felt a difference, but I did. And we're getting ready again, like Pastor Mike said, to start in the book of Acts tomorrow. But and this again is not tooting my own horn. I don't want to be a horn tutor. But since last November 1st, I have been doing a thankful journey. Every day, there is a reminder that comes on my phone, because I won't remember otherwise, for me to be thankful. And then what I do is I go to this little app that I probably need to look at the app. It's not an app. It's actually a picture. of a calendar for the month, and I go to the day, and it's what I'm thankful for today. So since last November 1st, because everybody was doing this, being thankful in November, the month of November, because it's Thanksgiving, right, that month? Well, I continued, and when we get done with Acts, it's almost going to segue really close into starting the thankful month again. So I want to encourage everybody. Even I'm not putting pressure on you to do the book of Acts, even though it will be easier than the 21 days because they're not so long. The book of Acts doesn't have real long chapters. But I encourage everybody, if you can do that, that it will easily segue in and that all of us can do a thankful month together for the month of November. How exciting would that be? And we could even make up our own calendar for that matter. And everybody, does anybody take pictures with their phone so they can look back and refer? Or am I the only one? My husband does. We take pictures of our insurance card. So for the month of 6 months, if we can't find it in our glove box and we happen to get pulled over, which hasn't happened, thank you, Jesus. But we can actually pull that up in our phone and show the police officer because it's the right one, right? See? So it really is very helpful for old people to have something on there that they can pull up. And that's what I do. I pull up this thankful thing. So y'all, get ready, because after we're done with Acts, it is November. Can you believe that? It's November. And so I want all of us to be excited for the month of November and all of us to do that together. I promise to work on a thankful calendar myself, and we can all have a thankful calendar that we can take a picture with our phone and then go to our photos every day and say, oh, do you have a pet you're thankful for? How about a spouse you're thankful for? How about a friend that you're thankful for? How about a life that you're thankful for? How about food? How about breath in your lungs? You see what I mean? So I really encourage all of us to do the book of Acts. But if you don't want to tie yourself in, I really want you to prayerfully consider November 1 through November 30 for all of us to do the thankful month, okay? Amen.
Bottle with the bread. bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for taking our punishment, taking our sins, taking our burdens, taking our pain, Lord, taking our sicknesses and taking our diseases, Lord, and nailing them to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for being, Lord, the one who laid his glory aside and came for us. And you lived a life, Lord, spotless and pure. You became the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, right now, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, because you said it's better that I go away, because I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Lord, we receive, Lord, that gift that you've given us of the Holy Spirit today, afresh in our lives, Lord. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, help us in the coming days to be more sensitive to you, to be more open to those nudges that you give us, to be more open to those corrections and those challenges that you bring to our lives. And help us to be more like our Savior. Help us to be more like the one that gave his all for us, that paid the price, the ultimate price, with his life for us. Now we are the temple of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And help us live lives that prove that fact to others, not in a prideful way, Lord, but in a humble way of showing how great you are in us. Anything good, Lord, that comes from that, you'll get the glory, you'll get the honor and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Be blessed. Have a great day. Love you all.